Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, you're welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. It was day two of the Leopardstown Festival. Johnny Ward was there in a working capacity, Johnny, correct?
Yeah, in a working capacity, yeah, and never any other way, in fairness, Nathan, you know, which would mark me out from the vast majority of the crowd here who, like yesterday, are certainly young and certainly enjoying themselves.
The crowds where they're expected to be?
Yeah, yesterday I think there was even talk that they had to kind of open the gates near the turnstiles of one entrance because there was a bit of a rush and there just wasn't actually enough. There weren't enough turnstiles basically to let them in. The crowd yesterday was 13,000 and a bit, just waiting on the attendance for today, but it was slightly down on 2017 yesterday, but generally the crowds have been good and the weather's been, I mean, you couldn't get nicer weather really for this time of year, so they'll be happy enough. It is a challenge for race courses to get crowds now. A lot of people prefer to stay at home, even seasoned race courses where they can watch all the racing on the box, and there's so much racing on at this time of year that it's very hard to keep up. As Tony Keane and a racing pundit said on Twitter yesterday, he said this is like the red zone for racing this time of year, pretty much. It's just never ending.
And quality-wise then, how does Leopardstown stack up this year? Because you speak about the sheer quantity of race meetings, and we saw yesterday Ruby Walsh went down and rode in Limerick at the Grade 1 there. First time, I think, in over two decades he went to Limerick on St. Stephen's Day. We know about the quality and offer in Chepstow, in Kempton as well. When you look at Leopardstown as a week overall, is it holding up?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're going to have a really good race tomorrow. Road to Respect is going to be taking on Shattered Love and Bell's Hill. No presenting Percy there. And this, you know, obviously today we had Footpad, who would be second favourite for the Arkle, taking on the likes of Simply Ned, and also, you know, a couple of good horses of JP McManus. As we've had, you know, near enough to the best novice hurdlers running. We're still going to have Sam Crow running. There are very few actual British raiders this time of year, but they're fairly well catered for in Chepstow and Kempton. So that's quite normal. And we've a few notable absentees, I suppose. But generally, the action's been very good. And the Grade 1 at Limerick, you know, it was questionable about that because it's a Grade 1 on the same day as a Grade 1 novice chase at Limerick. So it's going to dilute one or the other, for sure. But at the same time, the racing has been pretty excellent at Leopardstown. And some of the maiden races have been very interesting as well.
You mentioned Footpad there. So the main event for a lot of people today was the Grade 1 chase. Footpad, the Arkle winner, going up, as you say, against Simply Ned. And it was the outsider who won, a big-priced outsider as well, at 16-1 for Mark Walsh, completing a hat-trick of wins for him today. What happened with Footpad?
It's kind of hard to know because he'd won all his races as a novice last season. His jumping was utterly imperious. He just looked unnatural at the game. And there was a little bit of collective shock when he fell at Nate on his return. It actually subsequently transpired that he'd been injured in that race. So they gave him a little bit of time to get over that fall. He got injured, then he fell at the last. And they gave him time to get over. That race was on the 10th of November. So he was kind of rocking up here 6-7 weeks later. Willie Mullins generally has his horses fit. So this horse should have been fit enough, really, to beat Simply Ned, who was a good horse, but was running this race for the fifth time. And Footpad, everything went to plan for him. They didn't go a crazy gallop, but he was able to sit off. He jumped the last in front. He was, you know, practically flawless at his fences. I don't think he made one mistake. He jumped the last. He was back in running on the betting exchanges at 100-1 on. That means you have to put on 10 grand just to win 100 quid. And anyone who put on that sort of money didn't win at all because he was grabbed by Simply Ned and Mark Walsh. I've seen a lot of things in racing, but, you know, it never ceases to amaze me that things like that can happen when you have an even money favourite against 16-1 shot. And the even money favourite, he just paddled close home and he was caught. And let's just say it was a pretty shock Leopardstown after that.
I would imagine so. So 100-1 on in running, went off as the evens favourite as well, and one of the really fancied Irish horses, not just for this week, but for Cheltenham as well. Are there now doubts about the quality of Footpad when, as you say, it couldn't stay the distance, it seems?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, I guess, he didn't stay. Like, he just got, maybe he got tired, and I still think he's a contender for the champion chase in some shape or form, but he's no Altior, and there is no Altior out there at the moment. Altior ran today. He was very short priced, but, you know, he's been pretty flawless himself over fences. And if Footpad can't beat Simply Ned, with all due respect to a horse who's rising 12 years of age and who's winning the race for the second time, he's not going to be winning any champion chase, simple as that.
We'll come back to Leopardstown then, but you did mention Altior, who won again today. Is that 16 from 16?
Yeah, and it just gets better and better, really, watching him.
Is Altior the best horse in training right now?
You'd have to say he is, yeah. You know, if the Gold Cup picture is very muddy, the Champion Hurdle picture is quite muddied after yesterday, and there's no proper outstanding staying hurdler unless Faugheen wins by 50 lengths tomorrow. And Altior, you know, he replaced Sprinter Sakura in the most timely manner for Nicky Henderson, and he was just absolutely flawless today. The beauty of Altior is he always saves something for the finishing kick. We saw that at Sandown last time when he beat Undesow 4 lengths. We saw it at Cheltenham last season when he beat Men by 7 lengths after being off the bridle for much of the race. And he's very hard to pick a hole in. You know, he's just a beautiful, beautiful horse. He won by 19 lengths today. He did go off 1-8 favour. But remember, Bouverdeiro sent up very short price favourite yesterday and was beaten at Kempton. And Altior, which was rather unusual for a horse of his ilk, was running only 3 weeks after running earlier this month, when he actually only 19 days after he beat Undesow at Sandown. But I guess Nicky Henderson was happy for him to take his chance. And Rayton has suffered a lot of setbacks this Christmas with Might Boys absolutely flopping in the King George, subsequently bleeding. Bouverdeiro beaten at odds on, Footpad beaten today. There have been a lot of disappointments, and Altior kind of just the one you can rely on at this stage.
And no questions, obviously, either about Altior or Cheltenham, considering his record there and the Supreme Novices, the Arkell, the Champion Chase. Already, what, 10, 11 weeks out from Cheltenham? That looks the absolute banker of the festival.
He does, yeah. I think bookmakers cut him into 1-2 for the Champion Chase. I guess you shouldn't really be backing that because, you know, these things can go wrong in the meantime. They are fragile horses, and you know, every time Cheltenham comes around, I'm amazed by the amount of horses that are scratched because of injury in the 2 or 3 days before the race. So 2 months away from Cheltenham, 2.5 months, I wouldn't be rushing to back Altior, but at this moment there's absolutely nothing to beat him, and that'll be the case in Cheltenham as well, presuming he turns up.
So quite a bit of frustration for Ruby Walsh over the last couple of days after going down to Limerick and not getting the win yesterday in the Grade 1, and then obviously Footpad disappointing today, but he did get one victory and won the Grade 1s in the Novice Hurdle.
Yeah, he won on Aramon. This was a strange race, really, because, you know, Triplicate went out in front. He got very warm beforehand, Galileo horse. But he looked to be going grand for much of the race. He was tracked by Daily Tiger. Sanctus Simona was the horse that took the eye the whole way, William Mullins filly. She travelled exceptionally well, and coming around the final bend, she was in danger of being tight for room. But all the while, everyone in running and on the betting exchanges was backing Sancta Simona, who was, I think, matched at something like 4-1 on. But all the while, Ruby Walsh was on Aramon. Just basically, he was kind of like the guy at the back of the bus who nobody really noticed. And basically, Aramon pounced and won by 10 lengths. Just jumped the last and absolutely scooted clear. It's been a strange enough year with novice hurdlers because the bumper division last year, there seemed to be a bit of a much of a muchness. Relegator won the Champion Bumper. She was beaten on her hurdling debut. And some of the horses who were, you know, promising sort of novice hurdlers this season, they've been beaten. The likes of Quick Grab and Felix Desi's been beaten twice. And it's a kind of a hard enough picture. And with all due respect, it was one of the more provincial tracks, Kilbeggan, which I know that Off the Ball visited this year. Aramon is actually a Kilbeggan winner who's now emerged as a real candidate for the Supreme Novice Hurdle because he won a Grade 1 today by 10 lengths, and he showed a remarkable turn of foot, and it was a very pleasing result for Ruby Walsh.
Anything else that stood out for you today?
I suppose if you were to look at the day as a whole, Paloma Blue managed to win the Beginner's Chase despite another pretty indifferent round of jumping. I don't know what to make of him because I actually tipped him elsewhere to win the Arkell, but I'd more or less given up on him after the way he won, after the way he jumped rather on his chase debut at Navan. But he, in fairness, he has an engine. He did the job today for Henry de Bromhead. Sir Eric in the first race, he looks a very promising horse. Aidan O'Brien gave him to his son Joseph. I suppose the big race of the day over, and yeah, JP McManus, I think he 12 in this race. It's not something everyone wants to see, one owner completely dominating a race. You know, the commentator's job in terms of picking out one horse from the other nine that were declared of the 12, it's very, very difficult. But bizarrely, there was a major gamble on Ted Walsh at Any Second Now. We had Ted Walsh on the show last week. He was quietly confident Any Second Now. And anyone who backed him each way would just be hoping that they were paying five places. He was run out for close home. But over in that, a 28-1 shot for Donny McInerney and Inda Bulger, two Limerick men, two neighbours indeed. He won the race. And this was only a day after Donny McInerney was leading on a horse at Limerick at the second last, and the horse ran out. So it's kind of the vicissitudes of racing. But Auvergnat, a pretty unheralded horse in the context of this race, 28-1, won it for Indibulger and Donny McInerney. And it must be said, it was another good result for the bookmakers, and they've had plenty of them so far.
So I think as the week goes on in Leopardstown, is it that becomes more for the purists at the racing and the quality goes up? And tomorrow we've got the Christmas hurdle. What sort of renewal is it?
It's a really good renewal. I mean, it's disappointing, I suppose, that Super Sunday is not taking his chance. But Faugheen comes back. This time last year, he ran an absolutely abject race in the 2 mile race, and his career was up in the air. You wouldn't say he's totally put to bed doubts about what he is, but the only time he tried 3 miles at Punchtown in April, when he produced one of the performances of his life, I think he's valued to beat Apple Jade. I think he'll go out in front. She won't be having it easy like she did in the Hatton's Grace, and that's going to be a hell of a clash. And we do have another Grade One as well on the card, which is it's going to be an unbelievably competitive Savile Chase, I think. But Road to Respect should take the beating here. He was imperious in the race last year, and he's probably my bet of the day. He was excellent when he returned at Down Royal. I think he's probably better off going left-handed. Noel Meath's horses are in good shape. He's in great shape at home, seemingly. The ground is in his favour. And it could be a 1-2 for Jigginstown in the race, because they have the mare Shattered Love as well. It's a pity maybe she didn't go to King George, because she would have been an Irish representative in the race. But
yeah,
she has a fair chance. And, you know, the mare hasn't won the Gold Cup since Dawn Run back in the 80s. And she has an outside chance. But I think Road to Respect should take all the beating for Sean Flanagan tomorrow, who actually got engaged over the Christmas. So he's plenty to celebrate.
What sort of odds would you be looking at for Road to Respect?
I think we're talking about 2-1, something like that. 12 runners in the race. I suppose the chat before the race, that presenting Percy hasn't shown up, and that's, you know, a bit disappointing. Philip Reynolds' horse, obviously, is actually favoured for the Gold Cup, and they're a little bit worried about the ground, but he would have made this race a fair bit better. It is still quite competitive, but, you know, I certainly think Road to Respect should take all the beating.
Anything else then tomorrow that people should be keeping a close eye on?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the race we have to talk about is the race at Limerick, where we have the first run ever of Animix, certainly his first run in these shores. He's been very, very well touted. He's a horse that has been favoured for the Supreme Novice Hurdle for 2 years in a row, which is something very unusual. And he's going to go off a very, very sharp price favourite. Yet he could be upstaged in the 2:10 at Limerick in the same race. He might actually be upstaged by another horse. And this is one you will enjoy, Nathan. This horse is called Accidental. Any guess why he's called Accidental?
It was a mistake.
He was a mistake. So his dam, Early Beach, the mare, she was a very good horse.
Go on, I'm interested now.
Huh?
I'm intrigued. Go on, tell us.
Yeah. So the dam, Early Beach, she was sent out to a field, just kind of as you do with a horse. And she was in a field with a horse called Miguel Angel, right? And this horse was a supposed gelding. So they thought he was gelding. He was a pretty moderate horse. He was never going to have a stud career, no more than yourself. And Miguel Angel was not actually gelded, had a little bit of a love with Early Beach. And the horse that they produced, unbeknownst to everyone, came along to be called Accidental. And he runs tomorrow in the 2:10 at Limerick.
Wow, Miguel Angel, the Latin lover.
Well, there are a lot of accidents out there, and they probably back more winners than I did today.
Johnny, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. That is Johnny Ward there at Leopardstown. Day 3 coming up tomorrow, and Johnny will be back on the show tomorrow night reviewing that and looking ahead also to Saturday's racing at the track in South Dublin. So that is pretty much me done for this evening, but Joe's going to be with you after 8 o'clock. He is going to run you through some of our best stuff of the past year, and of course there was lots of it, so some really good stuff coming up between 8 and 10. Neil will be with you as well just after the 8 o'clock news. He'll run you down through all the day's live sport. But until tomorrow evening at 7 for the live stuff, we'll talk to you then.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.